I want to welcome you all today. Would also like to commend Matt and Ted and Greg on their thoughts this morning that they have shared that are meant to build us up and strengthen us and encourage and edify us all as we are here to worship God this morning. And I would encourage you all to observe the sober-mindedness, the thoughtfulness that went into those comments, to think about the type of dedication that we need to all have as Christians today in the times that we're living. We think about the young woman that Matt spoke about who had the courage and the love of country to be willing to go up on a mission to bring down the flight that had been abducted by the terrorist in order to save lives, knowing that it would be a kamikaze type mission for her part. And the believers that Greg referred to, the precious believers of Jesus in the Muslim countries who are being brutally killed, murdered. It makes us think about the commitment level that some of us all should have, that all of us should have. That God in heaven is looking down and observing all of these things, and He sees the level of commitment that we have to Him. And this morning I'd like for us to think about the church and the beautiful example of the church in the book of Acts. In the 11th chapter of the book of Acts, Luke's account of the establishment of the church in Antioch, and I believe it is a model for us to emulate as we pray for the church here today and for the church worldwide today. Because we see that as the Lord blessed the church there in Antioch and in the lives of those who believed in Christ and turned to the Lord, we know and we are confident that He will do the same today when there is that type of commitment. When there is that type of giving of ourselves to Him, that He is going to bless those efforts. And he says twice in this passage that a great many number believed and turned to the Lord. And that a great many people were added to the Lord. And as we think about those statements that are made there in this account by Luke, we see that the gospel was having a great effect. That the Word of God was being preached and people were turning to the Lord and they were being convicted of their sins and they were growing in their faith in the Lord Jesus and turning to Him in great numbers. And they were being taught and grounded in the faith and they were growing daily, and it was evident that God was blessing the work that was being done here in this city of Antioch. So I would like for us to notice four principles this morning that are seen in their example that we must follow to experience. We have been engaged in a wonderful study of this book of Acts on Sunday morning. And honestly, I would like to see more of you that could find it within yourselves to get up an hour early on Sunday morning to come and study God's Word together. When we think about the fact that we have no trouble getting up and being at places that we enjoy being by that time of morning, to think that we have so few that have the concern about spiritual things to be here on a Sunday morning to study God's Word. It gives me concern where we stand in our commitment to the Lord. But as we look at this account in the book of Acts, We find here a wonderful example of a church that was growing, that was thriving, and that was being blessed by the Lord. And I would suggest to you, it takes nothing less from us in order to receive those same blessings from the Lord today. We're living in a time that is not a time for levity. It is a time for soberness and reflection and reverence for God. And the Lord is just as powerful today as He's ever been, and He will give the blessing of His work when we commit our hearts to Him. But the first principle that I would point out for us to think about in this beautiful account of Acts chapter 11 is the principle that the gospel is for all people. The gospel is for all people of all nations. There are no racial barriers. There are no social barriers that God has in mind for those who would be His people. We read in Acts chapter 9, 11 and verse 19, "Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who when they had come to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord." Well, since the day of Pentecost, when we study carefully the book of Acts, we find that both in the Jerusalem church and in the spreading of the church abroad following the death of Stephen, that many people were preaching the word of the Lord. Very bravely and boldly, much preaching was being done. In the city of Jerusalem, the church had grown by leaps and bounds, and when Stephen was stoned, the church spread out and they were preaching the word, but it was only to the Jews. And it was now maybe 10 years have gone by from the day of Pentecost, and yet the word is only being preached to the Jews. Even the inspired apostles were very slow to recognize the fact that God intended for the gospel, as Jesus said, to go into all the world and preach to every creature. Yet they were still only preaching to the Jews. But it says here, and this came on the heels of the conversion of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, that as they came to Antioch, some of these men began to speak to the Hellenists. And the implied sense of this is that these were Gentiles who were now hearing the word of the Lord and were responding to the word of the Lord, and they were turning to the Lord, and a great number of them believed and did so here in Antioch. Well, it's a beautiful thing whenever we see the church in anywhere today that truly has no boundaries as far as race or culture or social levels of society, that we are a welcoming congregation, that we love all people who love the Lord and want to serve Him, that they are welcome to be a part of us, and we would encourage the growing of the church on an international of all races and all peoples who come to the Lord. And we certainly live in a community here that has the opportunity for that with many different cultures and races living in our neighborhoods around us. The church is designed to be a message that all people need to hear, whether Jew or Muslim or Hindu or any other. They need to hear the message of Jesus Christ. Second principle that we see here, and here we have a map that illustrates where the city of Antioch was located, Antioch of Syria. It was a third largest city of the Roman Empire of the first century with a population of about 500,000 people. very cosmopolitan city, that people had come from all parts of the empire to live there. And so it afforded the opportunity for preaching to many different cultures of peoples. And the text is indicating that that is what was happening here. And the Lord was pleased with that. The second thought that we see as a principle that we can learn from that, though, is that lives were being powerfully changed by the words of the word of the Lord. Lives were being changed. These people, whoever they might be, they were hearing the Lord. They were turning to the Lord, and their lives were being changed. And it said the news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. And when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them. I would suggest that when he saw the grace of God, what he was able to see was their changed lives. Not only that, but seeing that the congregation was comprised of the Jew and the Gentile, and they were loving one another and dwelling together as the Lord intended for it to be. But he was seeing that effort in the effect of that in the lives of these people, I believe. It's what it says, when he had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them. He rejoiced in that. Barnabas was a wonderful example of the attitude of a Christian that is full of zeal and full of love and full of enthusiasm. He was given the name by the apostles, the son of encouragement, back in the fourth chapter of Acts. It was more like a nickname. His name was actually Levi. He was from Cyprus. He was a Levite from Cyprus. But the other apostles, they gave him the name Barnabas, which meant a son of encouragement. And that name stuck. So they sent him out here and to help with this new work that was being done. And when he arrived there in the city of Antioch and saw what was happening, he rejoiced in that, because their lives were being changed so evidently by the gospel. And the gospel changes our lives. When we hear the word of the Lord and when we respond to the word of the Lord, as these people did, we do the same thing. We believe and we turn to the Lord. And that includes faith and repentance, and it also includes baptism. As a person turns to the Lord, they are baptized into Christ. And in Acts chapter 2, that was obvious in the day of Pentecost when Peter's preaching, because they asked, "What shall we do?" And he said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And in the next chapter, when he was preaching and he came to that point of the sermon to give them the instruction to what they were to do, in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, he said, "Repent therefore and be converted," or turn again, "that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Well, the people of Antioch here did this. They believed and they turned to the Lord. They gave themselves in full obedience to Christ. And we know from all the other scriptures that are pertaining to that subject that they would have been baptized into Christ. But as a person does this, as a person gives their life to Christ and is baptized and turns their self to God, they turn away from sin and they enter into Christ. In fact, in Romans chapter 6, it says that we are buried with Him in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life, knowing that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. And in the gospel, it is designed for us to make a complete surrender of our life to Jesus. And in that, we begin to raise up as a new life And we have put to death the old man. So it is truly a new life that is beginning. And we're not to return to that old life, because Satan would try to resurrect the old life and bring us back into that same habits of that old life once again. But in the 16th verse here of Romans chapter 6, he says, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves to whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." Well, that was the type of change that Barnabas was seeing among the new brethren here in Antioch, both Jews and Gentiles, that had been brought together in Christ. He could see God's work in their lives, and he could see that the hand of the Lord was with them. Third principle that we see here in this passage is their hearts were committed to the Lord. They were committed in their hearts to the Lord. Because it says here, when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart, they should continue with the Lord. Barnabas, in his encouragement to them, was not just simply encouraging them to be casual in their commitment to Christ. He understood from this that baptism is not the finish line of the Christian life, it's the beginning. It's the starting point. And that there is much growth that is to take place after a person is baptized, because that is only the beginning. Jesus, in his words of the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, made that very clear when he said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." So when a person is baptized into Christ, they are beginning their new life, but they have much growth to take place from that point forward. And as Barnabas said here, that they must have a purpose of heart to continue with the Lord. Well, the problem is that for many Christians, the casual type of commitment, it is very possible for a person to fall away from Christ. If we do not have that kind of commitment that Barnabas is speaking about, where we are with purpose of heart committing to the Lord, it is very easy for a person to become led astray and fall away from Christ. We must have that purpose of heart that he is saying. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 22, of course, he said that the great commandment is, "Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, and with all of your mind." He said in Matthew 6 and verse 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." And the apostles frequently talked about that we need to be committed to God. We need to take seriously that Satan is at work and he will lead us away. And there is a need for us to be recognizing the fact that our children need to be in Bible class. That we as parents need to be in Bible class, so that we can be preparing ourselves to teach classes with children who are in Bible class. We need to start out young on our children. And the reason that we need to start out young on our children is because Satan, no doubt, does start out young on our children. He starts working on them from a very early age. And if we miss the opportunity to be teaching our children at an early age, Satan has got a huge advantage, head start. Because he does not miss those opportunities, especially in the culture that we are living in today. Our children are being exposed to many things today at a very early age that probably most of us in this audience, when we were that age, weren't exposed to. Satan is very busy at his work, and one of his targets is our children. So they need to be in Bible class. The fourth lesson that I would principle is that godly character is so vital in the work of the church. Godly character of the leaders, godly character of the members. And the work grows and the work is blessed in proportion of the character of those who make up the church. We see that Luke here was very impressed with Barnabas from the first time he met. I believe there's a lot of lines of indication here that Luke, the author of the book of Acts, was one of the converts of these Gentile converts here in the city of Antioch. One of the early versions, I believe the Syriac version of the Bible, uses the word "we" before the end of this passage here, even though that does not show up in our versions. Traditions within the early church was that Luke was from the city of Antioch, but he was a Greek, a physician, but that he came out of the city of Antioch. But he was very impressed with Barnabas when he came here from Jerusalem. He said he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. He commented the fact that Barnabas was a man who was a good man. He was of very godly character. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He had the Christ-like qualities. The fruit of the Spirit was in his life. He may have been given the gifts of inspiration by the other apostles. We're not told that. But it seems likely that he did. But he was full of the Holy Spirit and he was full of faith. He had great conviction. His faith was very strong in the Lord. And those things were obvious to the people that he was teaching here, these new converts. They respected him. They learned from him. They followed his example in many ways. And so a great many people were added to the Lord. What do we need to learn from this account as far as the church today is concerned? One thing that stands out to me is that when people turn to Christ, the Lord adds them to His body. They are added by the Lord, and they are added to the Lord. The Lord sees when a person comes and gives their life to God, when they hear the gospel and they turn from their sins and they submit in repentance and baptism. The Lord knows that person. The Lord adds that person to His number. Just as it said in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47 that The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And it says here in Acts 11 that they were added to the Lord, and that the hand of the Lord was with them. So it gives us encouragement to know that the Lord is very involved in those who are hearing the word and paying attention and learning and giving their life. God recognizes that person and places them into His saved people, which is His church, by the way. That is what the church is, the saved people of the Lord. Because in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 24, that's what the Apostle Paul said, "Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, let the wives be subject to their husbands." He said, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body." So the Lord adds us to His church, and He has only one church, the church that He died for. And He doesn't add us to the wrong church. He only adds us to His body, the church, when we surrender to the gospel. But the Lord is the one who does that. And that is very comforting to know, that when you give your life to God, the Lord adds you to His people. But if He doesn't add you to His people, you're not part of them. The Lord is the one that takes care of that. The second thing that we see, when the grace of God is seen in a church, then the growth is going to follow. And the grace of God is seen when people give their lives and obey the gospel, and their lives are changed, and they are growing in their faith. That's when you can see the grace of God. And as it says here, the church grew when that was true. When there is that intense desire to seek first the kingdom of God, to grow in the grace and knowledge of God, the purpose of heart to cleave to the Lord and grow in Him, there is going to be growth that follows from that. The Lord will bless those efforts, and the church will grow. The third thing that we see is that the seed of this growth, the key to this growth, is preaching the Lord Jesus, so that people are able to see the truth of Christ. And that is so appealing to people when they hear the message of Jesus Christ, that Jesus loves all people, that He died for our sins, and that He rose from the dead. And that no matter what you have done, no matter what type of life you have lived, no matter who you have been in the past, if you will come to Christ and surrender to Him, your sins will all be forgiven. The slate will be wiped perfectly clean. You will have a new life in Jesus Christ. That is the most appealing message that the world has ever heard. And they were preaching that message, and people were understanding it. It is a simple message that anyone can understand. And so their lives were being changed, and they were continuing to teach and study and grow in His Word. So it is a beautiful model of what the church is supposed to be, where people are being added to the Lord. This morning, if you're here and you are subject to the Lord's invitation, He invites us all to come to Him, to surrender to Him as He has died for our sins, to be buried with Him in baptism and raised up to walk in newness of life. We're going to stand and sing the invitation song. If you're here this morning, we hope you'll come and respond to this invitation as we stand together and sing.
Number 440. 440.